Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what a privilege it is to open your word, and the richness of it wherever we are is just such a beautiful mirror to look into and to check our lives with what you are telling us and how important it is, and to see these Proverbs 3,000 years old and thinking of the context under which they were written and the way we are today is almost identical in a way, and they're so fitting, and we really need them, Lord. We really need to understand your word, not just glance at it, but really spend a little time on it. And what a beautiful thing it is when we do that. And it is so beautiful, I don't understand why I don't do more of it. But wherever we are, it is just a glorious thing. So guide us now as we look at these 25 verses this morning, and as you convict us by your Spirit, as these all have meaning to us, some more timely than others maybe, but they're all, it's just good. And looking at what is good and what is bad, and looking at the righteous and looking at the wicked, looking at the foolish and looking at the wise, and looking at the child of God and looking at the unsaved, it is just such a total dichotomy. And so help us as we go through this morning to glean from it and have an impact on our lives as a result of even being here this morning, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have 25 verses today, and we have 22 buts, so we have almost 100% contrast continuing on through chapter 13. There's some real jewels here, as there always are. It begins with, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Now, there's so many things in that verse that we could spend all morning on it. The wise son is a listener. You know, every generation has a tendency to kind of disconnect from previous generations, right? You know, my parents are really dumb. They don't know anything. Isn't that what you thought when you were in your teenage years? And how smart they got while you were in your 20s and maybe into your 30s? They were 10 times as wise then than they were earlier, and you recognize they haven't changed at all. It's you. But a wise man heeds his father's instruction. A scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Verse 2, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. So you're kind of wondering, well, what does that mean? Well, look at the contrast and you'll get another side of that. But the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. So if your fruit of your mouth is godly, things are going to go well for you. Physically, emotionally, and most importantly, spiritually. But if you're unfaithful, then your soul feeds on violence. Think of a life where your soul is feeding on violence. Over and over again, you know, we have, there is no peace for the wicked all the way through the scriptures. No peace for the wicked. Verse 3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. Wow. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. I wrote down here, big mouth. I think that's a very negative thing, opening wide your mouth. Now, the Bible does say, open our mouths wide and fill it, Lord. But this is talking about what comes out of our mouth and what comes out of big mouth, who thinks they are really, by pride, superior to everyone else. But that leads to destruction. Guarding your mouth preserves his life. I think that's in a lot of different ways. Back to verse 1 again, where we're talking about generation to generation. I think it's so important to recognize how the younger people need to hear from the experienced older generation. And I think that has a strong message for you and for me as well. We have a real responsibility to pass on to the younger people, right? What we have learned by experience. It's amazing. That verse, Psalm 71:18, is kind of becomes a life verse when you get as old as I am. And it says, now that I'm old and gray-headed, oh God, do not forsake me, what? Until I've declared. Until I've declared what? Your strength to the next generation. And your power to all who will believe. Now, is that why you're still alive? It's one of the reasons you're still alive here on this earth, is to pass that on, right? And you see young people making such foolish mistakes like we did, that with, a few minutes of loving counsel to them could change their lives for the next 40 years. Really. So we have a responsibility to pass this on, it would seem to me. Verse 4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. When's the last time you saw an unemployed person complaining about all the things they didn't have? That kind of goes together, doesn't it? The soul of the lazy man wants everything, but they have nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. So again, we got diligence five times, diligent five times. We have diligent a couple of times. So we got diligence seven times in the Proverbs. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. So I wrote down, how diligent am I? Verse 5, a righteous man hates lying. And again, do you? Do I? I've seen myself lie so smoothly, it didn't even bother me. And I think one of the things when you get lies institutionalized into the culture, like we really have seen happen big time, particularly in the political circles and in the press in the last decade, two or three, we're just full of lies, right? I mean, it's just one lie after the other. And the biggest liars accuse everybody else of lying, right? Have you noticed that? Well, we have to guard ourselves against that because that's what's around us. And we want to be totally different from that. So, Lord, help me to hate my lying. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Wow. Now, verse 6, a comparison of righteousness and wickedness again. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless. Wow. Think of that. Are you living a godly life? That godliness and that righteousness will guard you, protect you. But wickedness overthrows the sinner. We actually have wickedness overthrowing or pursuing the sinner. So it's just not that a sinner is not doing the right things, but they're actually being attracted and followed and pursued by wickedness. So you've got this dichotomy here, right? You can do it his way and be right, or you can disobey him and be wrong. We have it all the way through the scriptures, don't we? Verse 7, there is one who makes out that he is rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. Now, this can actually be taken a couple of different ways. One way is you act like you're rich when you're not. You're telling everybody how successful you are and what all the things you have, and you actually have nothing. And the opposite of that is the one who makes himself poor yet has great riches. But you can turn that back around again, really, that the rich man is holding on to nothing material. It's not that important to him, although he's rich. And the one who makes himself poor, if he's making himself poor by giving generously to everyone and everything that's good, he may not have any money, but he's got a lot of great things. He's got a lot of goodness, doesn't he? He has great riches. Verse 8, the ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor man does not hear rebuke. Basically, if you're the son of a billionaire, you're probably going to be secluded. You're probably going to go to a private school. You're probably going, if you really want to go to Disneyland, you're going to have your parents rent the whole facility so you don't get kidnapped. Whereas if you're poor, you don't have to worry about getting kidnapped. The ransom of the man's life is his riches. Remember years ago when J. Paul Getty's son was kidnapped and they cut off his ear and they sent his ear back to his parents or father. But that's going on all the time now in around the world, kidnapping. I mean, any place you go as a Westerner, you really need to recognize. And it doesn't have to be outside this country either, because there's a lot of kidnapping going on here. But if you're poor, you don't have to worry about them kidnapping you for your money. If your family doesn't have anything. So riches are not such a blessing. They can be a real trouble. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. How is your light? How much light are you giving out? Are you a powerhouse light, or are you just a little candle as a righteous person? I think the Lord says, let your light so shine, what, that men may see your good works and what, glorify your Father. So how is your light? The lamp of the wicked will be put out, or another word there is extinguished. If you have very little lamp of the wickedness, it'll be put out. That's not going to last. Verse 10, by pride comes nothing but strife. Or you could put an only in front of that and it would be even maybe clearer. Only by pride comes nothing but strife. But with the well advised is wisdom. I wrote down Isaiah 14 there. I always think of Satan and his pride of his five I wills. I will, I will, I will, I will. And the final one was what? I will be like God. And how you are fallen. How you are fallen. So by pride comes nothing but strife. And we all have it. We all have pride. I don't say we all have strife. Well, we have some strife. But pride brings strife. So if you're majoring in pride, you got a tough life. First of all, just think what your life has to be. You're looking at yourself as better than everybody else, which you're not. So you got to be putting on a front. You got to be trying every hard to, anytime anybody's around, to show how good you are when you're really not. That's a hard life, isn't it? Brings strife. But with the well-advised is wisdom. How well are you at taking advice? I think we should be learning all through life. I don't think we should ever stop learning. Verse 11, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. I just think what our social system in this nation has done to some of the disadvantaged people over the last, 50, 60 years. It's turned them into just welfare recipients. They're miserable. They're unproductive. They have a tough life. They never get enough money. They're never given enough money, right? So they got to go steal things. But wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished. So if you run a little study of the lottery winners, and look at the number of bankruptcies, look at the number of murders, look at the number of families breaking up and so forth. We can't handle a lot of money unless our character has been built up too. And so wealth by dishonesty, by fraud and so forth, will be, you won't keep it. But he who gathers by labor will increase. What is the increase? Well, it's some funds and some material, but that's not the main thing. Thing that really increases by labor or hard work is your character. One of the best things that you can give a lazy, unproductive person is make them, if you can, have them have a job. They got to show up every day. They got to be relied upon to do what they're told to do. Now, a lot of people use the military for this. They send their kids into the military. And in these days, when the kids aren't taught anything, any respect for authority, generally speaking, that's probably not too bad. And the military does their best to train them. But if they aren't trained really by their father, they've already got a couple of strikes against them, right? A godly father is so, so, so important. But yet we have the Father who is always training us, do we not? Verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. So something you really, 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 really want and you think it's coming, but it doesn't come and it doesn't come and it doesn't come, it can make your heart sick. But when the desire comes, now that you've had to wait for it a while, you remember when the Lord got ready to take the children of Israel across the Jordan into Jericho. They took them down by the river. He took them down by the river for 3 days and left them there. All they could look at is look across the river, which was really wide because of flood stage, and see the walls of Jericho. Had no idea how to take it down, but they knew they were to go in there. And so God made them wait for 3 days. So when they stopped the water and went across, that was a big deal. If they just come up to the river and it would have parted and they'd walked across, it wouldn't have been half as effective, would it, really? So that's what I see here, a way when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. He who despises the word, I think that's God's word, will be destroyed. Stand on this one, I wrote down. But he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. So we say hooray for the word of God. Verse 14, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. To turn one away from the snares of death. So, Deuteronomy says, turn to the Lord and live, or turn away from the Lord, be disobedient and die. We have life and death here. Verse 15, good understanding gains favor. But the way of the transgressor, or the way of the unfaithful, is hard. So don't waste your time on reality shows, because that's not, has no truth to it. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the unfaithful is hard. The way of the unbeliever is hard. That's why our hearts grieve for them, really. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. So if you read the first part of that, every prudent man acts with knowledge, that you can turn that around, and every unprudent man does not act with knowledge. But a fool lays open his folly. Verse 17, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. Wow, that's a great verse. Now, we're told, Paul said in Ephesians 6:20, what? He was an ambassador of Christ. And we are ambassadors of Christ, right? So how faithful are you as an ambassador of Christ? A faithful ambassador brings health, really, spiritual health. A wicked messenger falls into trouble. Verse 18, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction. But he who regards a rebuke will be honored. A lot in that verse, isn't there? Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains or who hates correction. You have any kids that are in that category? Maybe they've grown out of it by now. But some are and some aren't, right? Yet take two children from the same parents, and one will really thrive on correction, and the other really rebels against it. And we call them, oh, that's a strong-willed child, or whatever we call it. But we got names for all these things, I guess. But that's the fact. Verse 19, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Wow. Now that's where our welfare system or somebody who's on unemployment for their whole life, they have none of that. Really, they have such an absence of accomplishing anything. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. They're on the wrong track, terrible track, but they refuse to depart from it. Verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Who are you walking with? I read this one little limerick comment here. He who lies down with dogs will rise up with fleas.
That's a good one. That's so true.
Verse 21, evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good will be repaid. You know, all of creation is really favored to the righteous and to the prospering. There's nothing from God that wants to make you poor or make you difficult. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children or to his grandchildren. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for righteous. So I think from the context here of the wealth there, we do include the material inheritance there. But I think a far greater part of that inheritance is the spiritual. If all you're leaving your kids is something that can be settled by an attorney, you haven't left them anything. That's of real eternal value. A good man, an upright man, leaves a good inheritance to his children and to grandchildren. Verse 23, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice there is waste. So you can see different things in that. You can look at the nation of India, for example. For years, the United States sent them aid and food, but it ended up being eaten by rats and by all the animals and never got to the people. So we had much food as in the fallow ground of the poor. Or the other way of looking at that is the uncultivated land. And maybe even a rich person has a lot of uncultivated land where there's a lot of food potential there, but it's not being used. It's just lying fallow. It's uncultivated. Much food is in the uncultivated land of the poor, and for lack of justice there is waste. We know that for sure. Verse 24, here's a big one. He who spares his rod hates his son. Think of that. Just think of that, what that really means. You hate your kids? Well, if you spared the rod, it says, he who spares the rod hates his son. Just think about how the Lord chastises you. He doesn't let you get by with anything. Now, he may be patient, and you may think that he doesn't care, and he doesn't see, and you may even go so far as to think he's approving your sin, but it will find you out. And if there's anything I see in the Bible in one way in that regard, personal responsibility is so important in the Lord's eyes, isn't it? And just think of the blame shifting that we have in our society. Anybody who kills anybody else, they try to find a reason for it. Oh, he had an alcoholic grandfather, or he went to a bad school, or he did something or other, or she did something or other. Rather than say, they're a sinner. Capital punishment is what's in store for them, according to the Bible. They're murdering people. But he who spares his rod hates his son. Now, that does not mean to strike ever a person in the face. It doesn't mean to hurt someone. But, you know, he's given us two bumps of nice flesh on our backside that is should be used to provide the Board of Education as they need it. And think what a blessing that is if you really discipline a child, or if you're discipling a child, which is the same word, disciplining. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciples him, or disciplines him promptly. Well, most of us are probably to the grandchild or great-grandchildren stage at this point, and this is a little different parameter. Or the naughty kid in the supermarket or wherever who is just going around jumping everything off the shelves. I mean, when I was a kid, you just go take care of that right then. But now you're not supposed to touch them or anything else. And the parents usually will defend their kid. Oh, isn't that cute? And they have, you know, they have no respect for anything. But he who spares his rod hates his child, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. That's love. That's what the Lord does to us, isn't it? Last verse today, the righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. So you can take that different ways, but with the soul in there, I think we're talking about the spiritual aspects here, not just the physical aspects. But when we're talking about the stomach of the wicked, this is kind of physical too, isn't it? The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul. The unrighteous or the wicked, his stomach shall be in want. Almost back to where it was that the diligent person will prosper and the lazy one will not. Well, Father, we thank you for these Proverbs. We can spend hours on them and not get everything at all. But we thank you how it does, words sometimes jump out at us and gets our attention. And help us to heed that, Lord. We're being shown these things for a reason. It's not just words on a page to fill up the page. So help us. And here we have a little time this morning again to praise you, honor you, bring things to you. And we have had quite a week here of activities regarding Christmas. And yes, it came and it went in a way. And yet, I don't think it ever should be just a day. I think we should just have that continuing on wonder of glory to you for coming here as a man, coming here as a baby. Just thinking what that is, God, man, totally God, totally divine, and yet taking the form of a man forevermore to be our eternal high priest, ever living to make intercession for us, to die, to give his life that we might have life, to suffer as greater than we could ever suffer, and to have him as our eternal high priest, not only understanding everything about us that could ever happen, and even knowing before the foundation of the world divinely what would happen, and yet you ever live to make intercession for us. Unbelievable. So we thank you. We praise you. So lead us now in prayer as you would put in our hearts by your Spirit what things we should bring to you, and really being a mirror of our hearts, so to speak. What's on our hearts? What is important to us? You already know, but do we know? But as we're led by the Spirit, help us to pray as we ought. I pray in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for meeting us here again this morning. The time goes so quickly. But as we leave here, may this not be the end of our prayers today or their thanksgiving. And as already said, we see many things in your word that lead us and guide us as to very clearly what you would have us to do and to be today. You've given us this time for a reason here. We're not just wasting time. Help us not to waste it. And as we just close with another carol, as we're We're only a few days away from past December 25 when we recognize your birth, but we know you came forevermore. You've always been. You were before creation as the divine God and now man God for 2,000 years, and it'll be forever. So we want to just thank you for that, and thank you for the prophecy of saying you would be born in Bethlehem of Ephrathah. So let us close with this familiar song, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God our King, and peace to men on earth.
Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for that great promise that you loved the world so much that whoever believes would have eternal life. So we thank you for that. Help us to take that good news with us, kindness, gentleness. Curb our pride. Direct our steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over us. Guard our tongues, Lord. May they be soothing and not cutting, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. You have promised to bring us to that point, and so we thank you for the trials and afflictions that you use to change us. We don't like those, but we know we need them, and we know that you're going to do it because you promised to bring us to your Christ-likeness, and we're not there yet. So go with the family here as we go our special separate ways, special because you have us in a place for a purpose. And may your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.